A quick sampling of David Isay's radio documentary work illustrates the range of personalities he's captured in sound. You can meet Dan Field, an old-fashioned marriage broker in Manhattan.
Hello, Fields. Oh, you want to meet a lady doctor? Sure, I got plenty for you. If you like to, we could send you a free brochure.
There's Joe Franklin, the decidedly quirky, extremely local New York City talk show host, as he books his guests on the telephone.
Dan, I need you maniacally, pathologically. Come to things are concretizing. Things are coming together. They're coagulating.
And meet Virginia Bell Brewer, the lonely proprietor of a small-town Bell Museum in Texas.
I feel like that the Lord intended for me to share the beauty of bells with others. I wish it could have been easier, but I gotta keep on.
Such people are David Isay's passion.
I find pretension and phoniness sets off like screaming bells in my head. So looking for really authentic stories, people telling the truth, people talking from their heart is something that's always appealed to me.
Isay had always intended to become a doctor, not a journalist. However, that changed one day in the mid-80s when he met a couple who had been infected with the AIDS virus. That was tantamount to a death sentence at the time. They wanted to create a museum of addiction before their demise.
I met these two, and I just thought it was this incredible story of commitment and passion and courage, and tried to get other people in other media to do this, in TV and radio, just calling and pitching this story, and no one wanted to do it. And someone just told me to go do it myself, and I did. And that, you know, over a period of 24 hours, my life was completely turned upside down. And to some extent, I've been telling that same story over and over again for the last 20 years.
Isay's own story began in 1966 in New Haven, Connecticut, where he was born to middle-class parents.
When I was growing up, my dad was gay and I didn't know about it. To some extent, when I found out that he was gay and understood a little bit more about the kind of, pressures and prejudices that were on him, that certainly gave me a sensitivity to stories of underdogs and people who are outside of the mainstream. My mom's a book editor, and I think helped me develop an ear for editing stuff down, which is a lot of what this work is about. I mean, I spend a year recording tape and then cutting it down and cutting it down and cutting it down and trying to create this relatively very short audio piece. And there's something really, you know, insane about that. I mean, it's a very compulsive kind of act. You know, it's sort of like being a poet, you know, taking a lot of words from people and then helping to distill it down to the truth about who they are.
The truth of what Isay's interviews reveal often contains a fair bit of anguish. His September 11th initiative records the voices of people affected by the 2001 terrorist attacks. The Witness to an Execution documentary features wardens, chaplains, reporters, and executioners working on death row in a Huntsville, Texas penitentiary. In Tossing Away the Keys, we hear from prisoners serving life sentences in a Louisiana prison. Here is an edited excerpt from one prisoner interview.
This is a graveyard. A graveyard of time. The living dead is an accurate description of it. Because the things that it takes to live, to feel life, you're not in contact with that. We can't touch people's lives. We can't touch their lives.
Many of these stories are very, very difficult to listen to. But the trick is to make sure that you engage people enough and you bring them into this world so that they can't turn it off. And then after 25 minutes, they'll have had this experience and met people that they would never otherwise get to meet and recognize a little bit of themselves and people who they might have thought were so very different than them.
One of Isay's best-known works is The Sunshine Hotel, about the down-and-out denizens of one of New York City's last Skid Row hotels. Here's an excerpt narrated by the Sunshine's manager.
That's Bruce, the hotel's runner, delivering two bags of Chinese food to Fat Anthony. That's another part of life in these old hotels. You see, up here in the Sunshine, we're totally isolated from the rest of the world, so we create our own little society. Anything you want, you can get from another tenant. We have a loan shark, a drug dealer, a guy who does other tenants' laundry for a couple of bucks, a room cleaner, and Bruce, who runs errands for tips.
Isay recalls visiting the flophouse with a book version of the radio documentary and showing it to one of the men featured in the story.
He looked at his story and he saw his picture and he snatched the book out of my hand and he ran down the hall holding it over his head screaming, "I exist, I exist." That was a moment when it really dawned on me that so many people feel like they don't matter, that they don't exist, and that they'll be forgotten. And that's what so much of this work is about doing, making sure that these stories aren't forgotten, letting people know they do exist, and celebrating the beauty and the poetry we find all around us.
In recent years, the focus of ISAE's work has gone from people on the outskirts of society to average Americans. In 2003, he founded StoryCorps, a project in which everyday Americans interview loved ones about their life stories in recording booths created for the purpose. The interviews are permanently archived at the Library of Congress, and many are shared with the rest of the world via radio and the StoryCorps website. Here is one excerpt from an older couple. The wife has recently been diagnosed with early-stage Alzheimer's disease.
The diagnosis
is not pretty, no.
Do you feel sorry for yourself today?
A little bit. Big bit.
A big bit.
I'm sad.
What are the things that are making you sad?
Just not having control of everything. My thoughts and my actions. And I don't think it's fair to you either.
You know I want to take care of you, don't you?
I do know that. I just somehow didn't think that this was going to be my way out. And I still hope that it's not going to be.
You know I still love you, right? More than ever?
I know.
In this society, many people feel unheard, and they feel like they haven't been listened to. And when people are given this opportunity to speak and given this opportunity to leave a legacy, people become very focused, and they can speak things that are so wise and so beautiful that it just, you know, it just sweeps you off your feet.
David Isay has often said that listening is an act of love, and it seems that people have heard. In 2008, tens of thousands of people participated in StoryCorps' National Day of Listening project. It encouraged Americans to spend an hour the day after Thanksgiving interviewing their family members and recording their stories and memories. StoryCorps booths are slated to become an international presence in 2012 or 2013. With David Isay, I'm Adam Phillips reporting from New York.